Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Memches, and we are 10 lines from the bottom of daf Mem Zayin Omid Beis Itmar. Today's daf is being learned as a schus for Achenu Bnei Yisrael Hanasuna Matzor Vashivya. Today's daf is also being learned as a schus Rufua Shalema for Miriam Bas Malka Freda and Le'ilu Nishmas Rivka Bas Yibodol Chaim Toivim Reb Gavriel Tzvi. So we're moving along discussing halachos related to death, burial, a little bit of a digression. The Mishnah on Daf Mem Vav talked about how we treat somebody that was given Misas Bezdin after he was given Misas Bezdin. And from there, we digressed a little bit to discuss halachos of Kfura and Hespid, some very yesoidistic halachos. Today's Daf is another such sugya. Fact, it's a sugya that's oimed berumo shaloylam, and as many such sugyas, it pivots around a machloikis between Abaya and Rav. Says the Gemara Itmar, ha'oireg beged lemes. If somebody weaves a beged for a mace, also known as tachrichin, Abaya amar aser. Abaya says that the beged immediately becomes asabana. V'Rava amar mutter. Rava says it is going to be mutter bahana. So two things. Number one, we're talking about somebody that was oireg beged for somebody that already died. If the person is alive and someone is oireg beged for that live person, it's a whole different sugya. We're talking about where somebody was oireg beged lemes. That's number one. Number two, we're talking about where the mace has not yet donned this beged. To the extent that somebody is oireg beged le mace, and the mace is actually wearing the beged, that's also not this sugya, as we're going to see. We're talking specifically where somebody was oireg beged le mace, however, the mace did not wear it yet. And there was a machlokes Abaye v'Rava, whether this beged is asabana, or whether it's mutabana. Abaye says it's asabana, Rava says it's mutabana. Now, what's the havamina that it should be asabana? It's because a mace is asabana, and not just the mace, but all the mishamshe mace are asa bahana. A beged is a classic example of mishamshe mace, meaning tachrichin that's put on a mace is asa bahana. The question is, over here the mace didn't wear it yet. We were just oireg it for the mace. Does that in and of itself make it tachrichin from the standpoint that it's going to be asa bahana or not? Again, Abaya says asa, Rava says mot. Abaya says asa, hazmona milsi, because Abaya holds that once you prepare something for something, the preparation is a chshivos, so that in this instance, if the beged was prepared for a mace, it's considered big doy shal mace. And misham she mace ha asabana, thus the beged's going to be asabana. Rav amar mutter. Rav says it's mutter because hazman olav milsi. Hazman is nothing. And just because you prepared it for the mace, who cares? You can always use it for something else. And as a result, it's not going to have any chshiva. Says the Gemara, my time with Abaye. What is Abaye's makar that he holds hazman milsi? Gomar sham sham mi egla rufa. He learns it gzeira shava, sham sham from egla rufa. So what are these two shams? It says regarding Misa and Kfura, that Thomas Shom Miriam, that he covers Shom. And it says regarding the Egla Rufa, the Orfu Shom es ha Egla Banacha. And we learn Ma Egla Rufa Baz Mana Mitzara, just like the Egla Rufa became Asa Bahana with Hazmana, Hainami Baz Mana Mitzara. So too, when it comes to the beggar of a mace, if all you had was Hazmana, it's going to be Asa Bahana. So we're familiar with the parish of the Egla Rufa. One of the halachos of the Egla Rufa is that the Egel that was going to be beheaded is Asr Bahana. And it was Asr Bahana even before it was beheaded. As soon as it arrived at Nachal Eson, at the valley where it was going to be beheaded, at that point it already became Asr Bahana. In other words, in the vernacular, when it comes to the Egla Rufa, Hazmona Milsi, and it says the word Sham. It also says the word Sham by Misa Kfura. Says Abaye, Gzeira Shava, Sham Sham. Just like by the Egla Rufa, there's a special Gzeira Sakasav we know as Manas Milsi. So too, our Ered Beged Lemes is also going to be as Manas Milsi. For Rava, Rava says, I have a different Gzeira Shava. Gomar Sham Sham me Avoidas Keichavim. And it also says the word Sham by Avoidas Keichavim. Abe Ta Abdon as Kolam Koimus, Asha Avdu Sham Hagoyim. And Ma'avitas Keichavim as Manolai Mitzra. Just like when it comes to Avoidas Zara, has Manolam Milsi Afachanami, but as Manolai Mitzra. So too, when it comes to Beged l'meis, hazmona is going to be lav milsi. So what's the halacha of avodah zara? Avodah zara is also asabana, and not just avodah zara, but the meshamshei avodah zara are asabana. Yet when it comes to meshamshei avodah zara, hazmona lav milsi. So if somebody says that I want this to be designated as meshamshei avodah zara, it would not become asabana. When it's physically used for avodah zara, that's when it would become asabana. But meshamshei hazmona is lav milsi. So says Rava, just like by avodah Zara, where it says Sham Azmada Lav Milsi, so too Ha'irik Beged the Mace is also going to be Azmada Lav Milsi. So again, Ha'irik Beged the Mace, Abaya says Asa, Rava says Mota. Abaya says Asa Azmada Milsi, Rava says Mota Azmada Lav Milsi. My time at the Abaya, Gomar Sham Sham. My time at the Rava, Gomar Sham Sham. Abaya learns Sham Sham from Egla Harufa, just like Egla Harufa, the Zigzeris Akas of Azmada Milsi, so too Ha'irik Beged the Mace Azmada Milsi. Rava learns Sham Sham May Avoid the Zara, just like by Avoid the Zara, or more specifically, Meshamshi Avoid the Zara. Azmada Lav Milsi, so too, when it comes to Beged l'meis, hazmona lav milsi, says the Gemara of Rava, my timely gama me'egla rufa. Meaning, it sounds like Rava, just like he learned it from Avodah Zarah, could have equally as learned it from Egla Rufa, and vice versa. Just like Abaya learned it from Egla Rufa, he could have equally as learned it from Avodah Zarah. So we're going to have to know why Rava didn't learn like Abaya, why Abaya didn't learn like Rava. Right? Sometimes Abaya and Rava are coming from two completely different worlds, but here they're both boiling it down to Sham Sham. Okay, so it says Sham here, it says Sham there, it says Sham everywhere, right? So Mechatesi learned Sham Sham from here. Maybe learn it from there. So the Gemara says, Rava, my time to Gomer Me'egla Rufa. Why did Rava learn from Gevel Harufa? Amalacha, Rava's going to tell you. Mishamshim, Mishamshim, Gamrinon, Lafukli Harufa, Digufa Kedosha. The Gzereshava of Sham Sham between Beged Lameis and Avodah Zarah is a better Gzereshava because they're both Mishamshim. The Beged is a Mishamish to the Meis, which is Asabana. Hence, the beggar becomes asabana, and the meshamshei avodah zarah are being meshamish avodah zarah, which is asabana. Hence, they become asabana. But the point is, the beged lemeis and the meshamshei avodah zarah are both meshamshim, as opposed to the egla rufa. It's not servicing anything. The egla rufa is gufa kedusha. It is the source of the kedusha, and being that the egla rufa is the source of the kedusha, it's less of a comparable to Beged l'meis, and that's why Rava preferred to learn Beged l'meis from Mishamshei Avodah Zarah as opposed to from Egla Harufa, which is not a Mishamish. It's Kedusha itself. Incidentally, you see from this Gemara and from other Gemaras as well that the Egla Harufa was Kaddish, right? The Egla Harufa feels like a carbon a little bit, but of course it wasn't a carbon, right? It would be the quintessential Shchutei Chutz. It was brought in the Nachal Eson. There were no Avodahs done with it. So even though it is somewhat on the spectrum of Karbonois and Kotcha maybe, but it wasn't. Stating that, you do find in many Gemaras and Shas that the Egla Harufa had Kedusha, meaning we know it was Asa Bahana, but just because it's Asa Bahana doesn't mean it's Kaddish. The Egla Harufa is Kaddish, this is one of the Gemaras. Now, what type of Kedusha does it have? Is it Kotcha Mizbeach? You think not. Is it Kotcha Betek Abayis? Is it Kedusha Sagof? Is it Kedusha Sdomim? So this is already a Sugya. But the bottom line is, says Rava, Mishamshim Mishamshim Gamrinon, Lafukli Egla Harufa, Di Gufa Kedusha Abaya, my time will come, Avodah Zarah. Why didn't Abaya learn from Avodah Zarah? Rava saying good, Mishamshim Mishamshim. Amalachai is going to tell you, Midi do Urche, Midi do Urche Gamrinon. You learn something that's Urche from something that's Urche, Lafukli Avodah Zarah, of Urche as opposed to Avodah Zarah, which is not Urche. So what does it mean? Midi de Urche, midi de Urche. Ha'irik Beged l'meis is a midi de Urche. And Egla Harufa is midi de Urche. So usually when you think of Urche, so you think of something that happens often, right? That's usually the context of Urche. Ha'irik Beged l'meis, unfortunately, is Orche, for sure, right? Any definition of Orche, this is going to be something that's considered Orche. In what way is the Egla Harufa Orche, meaning, you would think it wasn't a common occurrence to bring the Egla Harufa, but the way Rashi explains it is that it's something that if need be, Derech HaYehudin Laseis Kein, then it's the normal thing to go ahead and do. Meaning, it's a mitzvah to do the Egla Harufa. It's a din. It's something that any bezdin that knows what it's supposed to do would do. As opposed to avodah zarah, that's something that's aser. That's something you're not allowed to do. So not urche in the sense that it happens every hour and a half. Urche in the sense that it's a derech lasis kain in the event that you have to do it. So it says Abaya, to me, beged l'meis is more vitzushal to egla harufa because they're both midi d'urche as opposed to avodah zarah, which is not midi d'urche. And Rashi adds a nice punchline. What's the svara of midi d'urche versus la midi d'orche? Because what underpins Hazmana Milsi is that once you designate this beged for the mace, so then probably you're going to use it. And that's gufo why Hazmana Milsi. Meaning Hazmana Milsi, because at the end of the day, you're probably going to use it for the mace. So when it's a midi de urche, then you could say such a svara. So by egla ruf, as soon as you bring the egel to the nachal eson, it already becomes asabana. Why? Because it's midi de urche. So you probably end up using it. That's true for Begala Mates as well. It's not true for Avodah Zarah. Because if somebody designates something for Avodah Zarah, hopefully he's going to see the light, and he's going to see the truth, and he's going to realize not to do it. So the Lav Urche of Avodah Zarah is actually a very fundamental Svara. And it's a reason why you should say, Azmana Lamilsi. Bottom line is, this is the Gemara. The shortest version of it, the machlokes Abaye v'Rava, whether Hazmana Milsi, Hazmana Lav Milsi, Abaye holds Hazmana Milsi, Rava holds Hazmana Lav Milsi, and the Gemara now, from here until almost the end of our daf, is going to be mefalfel, it's going to be shakal v'tari, we're going to have toshmas all over the place, trying to prove Shitas Abaye, prove Shitas Rava, and then at the very end, there's going to be a little bit of a discussion amongst Amiram, whether we paskin like Abaye, or we paskin like Rava. Now, I don't think I'm giving it away by saying we paskin like Rava, because in every accounting of the Yal Kagam, this is not one of them. Stating that, as we'll see, it was a little bit of a discussion amongst Amiram. And on that note, kick into the next gear, start going through different mekoyros from Chazal. This is literally a smorgasbord of kol ha'teira kula as it relates to trying to prove the sugya of Hazmana Milsi, Simen. Kippa nafshe dechatziva nechisa do'umna. Meisvei. Great, the Gemara will ask you a question from the Mishnah in Mesechtes Kelim. So the background to this Mishnah is the concept of Tumas Medras. So in the world of Tuma, there's a unique type of Tuma called Tumas Medras. Now, Tumas Medras, it relates to somebody that's Tame because of something that was Yoitse, Megufai, or Megufa. So a classic example would be a Zavar, a Zavar. What is Tumas Medras? If a Zavar, a Zavar would sit, lie, or ride on something that the derech is to sit, lie, or ride on, that thing would become Tame Tumas Medras. The uniqueness of it is that in and of itself, it becomes an avatoma. So usually if something comes in contact with an avatoma, it becomes a toyota, a rishon l'toma, that would transmit Shendi, Shlishi, Revi, but a medras is in and of itself an avatoma. So the background to this Mishnah is where there was a Zava that sat on a kippah. So she sat on a shawl. She sat on a scarf. Now this kippah was something that sometimes women would sit on, and as a result, when she sat on it, it became Tomei Tumas Medras. Okay, so Kippah Shu Tomei Medras, V'nos Nesoy L'Sefer, and the way the Gemara understands it now, this woman then said, you know something, I want to use this Kippah to wrap a Sefer Torah. Tahar Min HaMedras. So what happens is, automatically, this thing becomes Tahar. Amazing, right? Usually, how do you make something tar? You have to put it in mayim, you put it in esh, right? There's a whole sugya of how you metire something. But the nos nesoy l'sefer, just the machshava to make this thing now for a sefer Torah, would make it tahar min ha-medras. It would be metired from Tumas Medras. And the reason it would be metired for Tumas Medras is because the only time it's tami Tumas Medras is when it's the derech to sit on. But now that you're dedicating it for a sefer Torah, so now it's not meant to sit on anymore, obviously, and it's for that reason it's no longer royal medras. If it's no longer royal medras, it could not become tami Tumas Medras. That's chiddush number one. And even the bigger chiddush, that once it's Tameh, it would lose its Tumah. Stating that, the Mishnah continues and says, Avo Tameh Maga Medras. It's still going to be Tameh, but the Tumah that it's going to have is the Tumah that something gets when it comes in contact with a Medras. Meaning, it's going to be a Rishon L'Tumah. And the reason it's going to be a Rishon L'Tumah is because even though right now it's not Shaykh to Tumas Medras, it's only Shaykh to Tumas Medras when the Derech is to use it to sit on. Now the Derech is not to use it to sit on anymore. You just designated it to use to wrap a Sefer Torah. But it came in contact with a Medras at one point, right? That's for sure. And the fact that it came in contact with it, right? It was one Heftzah with the Medras. That's even better than coming in contact with it. So it's Bechlal Masayim Mana and has an a Magen Medrus. Magen Medrus is also Tomei, albeit a lesser level of Tomei, a Tomei Kala, it's original Tomei, it's not an Ava Tomei, and it's for that reason it's still going to be Tomei. So it's not going to be Tomei Tomas Medrus, it's going to be original Tomei. What's the Nafkamina? That's a huge Nafkamina. Ava Tomei is Metama Adam Bekalim, as opposed to original Tomei is only Metama Eichlun Omashkin, right? So there's a huge Nafkamina in the world of Tomei Vatayr, even without doing a proper introduction. These are the most basic elementary principles of the laws of Tomei Vatayr. But what do you see from here? We just need one thing. We're not learning the sugya of Tomei Vatayr. What we need is that if you have something that's Tomei Tomas Medrus, the Nos Nesoy Sefer, and you have in mind to use it for a Sefer Torah, Torah Menah Medrus, that's enough to make it Ois Medrus. Now, all you did was had in mind to use it. It was a Hazmana, and that's enough to say that it's not a Medrus anymore. So what do you see? Hazmana Milsi, it's a Raita, Abai, it's a Kashin Terovo, says the Gemara, Eima Nos Nesoy Vekarchasoy, edit the Mishnah, we don't do these most days, but here we're going to do it. Say that the person didn't only have a mind to designate it for a Sefer Torah, but Karchasoy, he actually wrapped the Sefer Torah with it. And being that he wrapped the Sefer Torah with it, it wasn't just a Hazmana, he actually used it for the Sefer Torah. Oh, you actually used it for the Sefer Torah. So therefore, it's not going to be a Medrus anymore. But the Gemara says, I understand, Lomali Nosnesay V'Karchasay. And what's the Kasha? To the extent that you were Karchasay, if you used it for the Sefer Torah, then what do you need the Nosnesay for? Right? The Mishnah says Nosnesay, which means you designated it. So you're going to add a word. You're going to say Nosnesay V'Karchasay. I hear. So you see from here, Hazmana itself is not enough. Okay, but the problem is, you solve one problem, now you have another problem. The other problem is why did the Mishnah say Nasasai? Because to the extent that it was Karchasai, shouldn't that be enough? So the Gemara says, no. Okay, the Rav Chizda, and this Rav Chizda is going to repeat itself a few times in the daft. Rav Chizda, said, Hai Sudra, if somebody has a Sudra, the Azmine, Le Meitza Beit Tefillin, and you had a mind to use it as a pouch for your Tefillin. Vitzar Beit Tefillin, and you actually use it for your tefillin. Also, mitzvah pshiti, then you can use it now as a pouch for your money. And Rav Chizda said, Azminei v'loy tzarbe, tzarbe v'loy azminei shari l'mitzvah pshiti. But if all you did was azminei, or if all you did was sarbe, then it's going to be mutter. Why? Rav Chizda holds hazmana la milsi. So because Rav Chizda holds hazmana la milsi, so azminei in and of itself is not going to be enough. But additionally, Rav Chizda also holds that sarbe alone is not going to be enough. And the reason is because if you use something, in this case for tefillin, but you didn't have in mind Azmineh, right? It wasn't hinini muchanu mezuman, right? Pun intended. It wasn't l'shem yichud kutcha berichu. It's not done with the kavana. So then we say that what you did was a mikra ba'alma. And being that it's a mikra ba'alma, it doesn't change the status. Now, to be clear, if somebody would put tefillin and he would sarbe v'lay azmineh, at that minute that the tefillin's there, you wouldn't be able to put something else in. You wouldn't be able to put money there. But the minute you take the tefillin out, we would say, okay, but akroy ba'alma, there was tefillin there. And for those moments, it had some level of kedusha. But now that you remove the tefillin, now at this point, it's not going to be a problem. So Rav Chizda holds hazmara la milsi. Rav Chizda said another chiddush. He said azmineh v'lay sarbe is nothing. Hazmana la milsi. But also tzarbe v'lay azmineh is also nothing. Again, once you remove the tefillin, says the Gemara, this Mishnah that says Nasnesay v'karchasay is kidrav chizda gevaldik. The Mishnah holds hazmana la milsi. That's why Nasnesay alone is not enough. Ask me Nasnesay v'karchasay. I let the karchasay be enough. The reason is kidrav chizda. If all it would have been was karchasay, if you had this kippah that was Tomei Tomas Medrash, and now, you, without designating it for a Sefer Torah, you would wrap a Sefer Torah in it, that would not make it Ois Medrash based on Rav Chizda's Allah. Now, the Gemara says, according to Abaye that holds Hazmana Milsi, so there's no reason to assume he doesn't agree with Rav Chizda. So how's this halacha going to play itself out? So the Gemara says, Azminei afagaf deloy tzarbe. As it relates to Rav Chizda's halacha, if someone's Azminei even without tzarbe, that in alone is going to be enough because hazmana milsi. Tzarbe, as it relates to tzarbe, he Azminei in, Eloi Azminei loy, if you are Azminei yet, if not, not. In other words, Abaye holds hazmana milsi, so he holds Azminei alone is enough. But Abaye also holds like Rav Chizda that tzarbe v'loy Azminei is only a mikra ba'alma, that is not going to be enough. The bottom line is that the Gemara first attempt, the first tashma, to try to prove the sugya of Hazmana Milsi, Hazmana La Milsi, is nitches, we have no raya here. Now, one thing you do see from this first Gemara, which is going to repeat itself several times, and that is that even though the machloikis Abaye v'Rava of Hazmana Milsi, Hazmana La Milsi was by a Oirik Begad L'meis, and even though it was learned out from a limud, right, Shom Shom, Me'aglarufa, Shom Shom Me'avoy Dezara, and there was even Svara behind it. Mishamshim mi mishamshim gamrinon, midi deurche mi midi deurche. But you see from the sugya that the machloikas Abai v'Rava is very broadly applied. Meaning, from the first Gemara that we went through, there would have been mokum to think that maybe this machloikas is unique to the sugya. Right? The makoiris and the svaris were very unique to the sugya. Oyrik begalameis. So mehechitesi, we could start applying it to kalaterikula. But you see from the first meisve of the Gemara and the ensuing tashmas that that's the way it is. Says the Gemara tashma, I'll bring you another raya to the shailo nefesh shabonoi l'shem chat. So a nefesh is what we know as a matseva. So a nefesh, a matseva that was built for somebody that's alive. Mutterbana. So somebody is preparing, and one of the things he did was he wants to make sure all his ducks are in a row. He's already making a matseva. So the halach is that matseva is mutterbana, meaning there's no question in the world it's going to be mutter. There's no sugya of hazmana milsi. If the person's alive, it's without a question mutabana. Hoisev by dimus echod l'shemes. If the person died, and then when the person died, they added one row of bricks, one row of stone for the matzeva. But it happened after the person died. Asabana, then it's going to be asabana. What do you see from here? Hazmana milsi. Ah. Mechura, right? A mechura sharaya. That the person died, they were moisef adimus, at that point it's asabana. Why is it asabana? It shouldn't be asabana till they bury the person and there's akamas matseva with drushes and siyumim and the whole nine yards. No, doesn't say that. It says as soon as they're moisef adimus, sounds like all it is asmana, that's going to be enough. This should be a raya tabaya kachan. Rav the Gemara says, no, the b'raisa means is that when a mace was there and then they put the matseva and they were moisef adimus, but the Gemara says, if the mace is there, my ear yahoisef. So why do you have to be moisef adimus? Kiloi hoisef nami, right? Even if they were a moisef. If the mace is there, then it's mishamshe mace. If it's mishamshe mace, of course it's asa bahana. So what's the chiddush? Or not what's the chiddush? Why do you have to be moisef dimus? Without being moisef dimus, it's going to be a problem. The Gemara says, leitzricha afagafta panya. The chiddush is where the mace was put there temporarily. If the mace was put there temporarily, and then they put the matzeva on top, if you wouldn't be moisef dimus, then the halacha would be that if you removed the mace, it wouldn't be a problem. And the reason is because if it all only was that the mace was there, but it was never designated, this matseva that is, for this mace, then it would be Zokrashi, like Tsar Bevelei Azmenei of Rav Chizden, the previous Gemara, where we say that if somebody puts tefillin in the sudder, but then he takes it out, when he takes it out, it's going to be mutter. What we're saying is that if it was Hoisef Dimus, and there was a mace there, then it's going to be Osir Bahano La'olam, even if you're Panye, because now it's an Azmenei Vitzarbe, right, to use the verbiage of the previous Gemara, which is what Rashi does. So now that it's an Azmenei Vitzarbe, now it's actually going to be Osir. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Raphim Bar Papa, Amar Rav Chizda. So Raphim Bar Papa, speaking of Siyumim, right, of Siyum fame, said in the name Rav Chiznam, Hoye Makira Cholzei Motte, they just parenthetically, as relates to this halacha, if somebody was Moisef Dimos, if you know what that Dimos is and you want to remove it, you can remove it. And once you remove it, then it's going to be like before it was Hoisef by Dimos, which means it's not going to be Asabana anymore. Toshma, another attempt to try to prove this Shaila. Hachoitzev Kevel Aviv. If somebody prepared a kever for his father. So a chaitze means somebody he hacked stone, right? So you basically etched out in stone a crypt or a kever, and a person doing it for his father. And then he ended up burying his father somewhere else. Covered by Elam, he himself should never be buried there. Meaning, because once it was designated for his father, Hareza lo yikavir by olamas. What's the kasha? The kasha is this whole halacha should be dead on arrival, right? Pun intended. Why? Because if hazmanos la milsi, so what happened? Nothing happened over here. All you did was is you prepared a kever. So good, this halacha, you should never get buried there. At the end of the day, what happened? All you did was is you prepared a kever. Say Fasmana Milsi, I hear a sugya. But if Fasmana La Milsi, why are we even talking about this? So the Gemara says, you're right. This has nothing to do with halacha. This has nothing to do with Isuri Ana. It has nothing to do with Machlik Zabai Verov. Hasam Mishum Kvoid Aviv. All that is about, it's a sugya and kibbut Avein. That if this was prepared for your tata, you should not use it. And the Gemara says, okay, now I'm going to stop Rabbi with the Tani Sefer. Because there's a Sefer to that, Baraisa. The Sefer says, Reb Shimon Ben Gamliel Loim, Reb Shimon Gamliel said, Afa Chitzev Avonim La Aviv. Even if somebody, he didn't actually etch out a grave. All he did was, is he prepared stones for his father. So he prepared stone that he's going to use to now build out the grave. And he went and he buried his father somewhere else. He should never bury himself there. Meaning, not only if he prepared the kever for his father, do you have this halach of lo yikavir by olamis, but even if he was chaytzev avonim, le'aviv, Even then, you should heed this law. So the Gemara says, Gishma, if the basis of this halacha is related to kibbutz, shapir, I understand the halacha. It's true if you prepared the kever, and it's true even if you only prepared the stones. Eliyam, you're going to tell me b'shum hazmano. But if you're going to tell me the pshan in this halacha is based on the sugya of hazmano milsi, and you want to bring a riot here to Abaya, tovi la riga miyikulam and amar, would even Abaya hold that this is hazmano milsi? What does it mean, tovi la riga? Because Abaya said his halacha by a oirig begalamis. Now, Abaya said his halacha where somebody prepared tachrichen. You actually weave the baguette. But let's say somebody would spin, he would go and spin thread to be used to weave a baguette for his father or for a mace. Then, of course, the halacha would not be true. Even a baya that holds asmara milsi, it's only if you're oirig baguette. But if you are tovi le'ariga, that's a step removed. Even he never said that. Now, if that's the case, if somebody goes ahead and he's chaytzev avonim, that's doyma to tovi le'ariga. So why would there be halacha of areza le'ikavir lama? So the Gemara says, you see already that this halacha has nothing to do with the sugya, asmana milsi, asmana la milsi. It's related to kibbutz. Kibbutz, it's a whole different sugya. It's every day a sin in reish men, right? You're in the wrong shulchan aruch. This has nothing to do with tumah v'tayra. This is related to kibbutz. And if it's related to kibbutz, just like it's true for somebody that actually prepares the kever, it might as well be true for somebody that prepares the avonim for the kever as well. Now, what's the pshat that Abaya, even though he holds hazmana milsi, he only said it if you're oirik begel ames. But if you're only tovi la riga, not. So Rashi says, quote, Dibra maschel tovi la riga mi'ikul mandamer afilu Abaya loikomar ele ba'oirig de orig chazil ames. It's only true when you prepare something that physically where it is and how it is, Basheru Sham could be used for the mace. So if you prepared something and this could be used for the mace, then we say Hazmana Milsi. Right? That's the question you have to ask yourself if you want to know if this is a Hazmana Milsi or lav Hazmana Milsi. So you prepared it for a mace. Could it be used for the mace right now? You prepared it for a Sefer Torah. Could it be used for the Sefer Torah right now? You prepared it for burial. Right now you can bury. If the answer is yes, oh, that's the Sugya Baivir up. That's when we invoke this sugya. If, however, the answer is no, then it's pashit, and that is the Gemara's dichoy, another tashma, kever chadosh, a brand new kever. Mutter bahana, the halacha is mutter bahana. Now, the assumption of the Gemara right now is that this is true even if it was prepared for a mace, right? So, somebody died, and now they prepared this kever chadosh, it's still going to be mutter bahana. Hittel by nefel, if a nefel was put inside of it, aser bahana, then it's going to be aser bahana. Now, it sounds like hittelin loy hittelay, that a kever chadosh, even if it's prepared for a mace, is going to be mutter bahana. You put a nefel beside it, but if you didn't put any mace in there, it's going to be mutter bahana. What do you see from here? Hazmana. Lav milsi, right? So this is a riot to Rav Lucher and Akasha Tabaya. The Gemara says, no, huadin, da'afa gafta lo hito. Really, even if you weren't matal, the halacha is that it would be aser bahana. And the way Rashi explains, when it says kever chodosh muter bahana, what it means is when you prepared it for somebody that's alive, that's what you prepared it for. But if you would prepare it for a mace, then it would be aser bahana. What's the kasha? The kasha is, if kever chadosh means that you prepared it for someone that's alive, and it's then and only then that it's muta bahana, because if you prepare it for a mace, then we're going to say asmana milsi, it's going to be asa bahana. So why then does the brisa continue and say, hitl by nefel, asa bahana? It's going to be asa bahana, even if you just prepared it for a mace, right? Why then is the case of aser bahana where it's hittel by nefel? I mean, if kever chadosh is muter bahana, even if you prepared it for a mace, so the only time it's aser bahana is if you actually put a mace there. But if kever chadosh muter bahana is true only for a chai, because hazmana milsi, that's where Abaye is going to explain it, so then you don't need to be hittel by nefel to make it aser bahana, just prepare it for a mace and it's going to be aser bahana. So that's what this next line of Gemara is coming to address. The reason we said hittel by nefel aser bahana, and we didn't just say that if you prepared it for a mace it's going to be aser bahana, is ulaf Fuke mid Rav Shimon Gamliel, because we were coming la fuke, somebody Rav Shimon Gamliel said. The Tana of this Bryson wanted you to know, Nishta Zoivi Rav Shimon Gamliel. Dama, what did Rav Shimon Gamliel say? Ein le nefalim tfisas hakever. Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that in all the sugis of kever, if somebody puts a nafel inside a kever, ein le nefalim tfisas hakever, it's not considered a real proper burial and doesn't impact all the halachas. Kamash Malon, we want you to know that a nafel does have the ability to do it. Meaning, if the Tana of the Bryson wanted to tell you a different chiddush. Could have told you a different chiddush. It could have told you that a kever chadash that was prepared for a mace is asabana based on the halacha of Azman Uzma. It's not what he wanted to say. He could have, would have said that, but that's not what he wants to say. He has a different agenda. His agenda is lafuk the Rishon Gamliel. So what did he say? That if you have a kever chadash that was prepared for a chai, where there was never a hazmana, it's going to be mutabana. I want you to know, if you would put even a nafel, it would be asabana. There are other ways it could be asav hanah, but he wants you to know this halacha, because this halacha not everybody agrees with. Rav Shimon Gamliel doesn't agree with this. He holds, if you have a kever that was never miyuchad l'meis, and now all you did was put a nafel inside of it, ein lo nafalim tfisas hakever, you don't get all these sugyas. And the Tana Mishnah wanted to come lafukeh, and that's why it said it the way it said it. Tashma, another raya. This raya is from a Mishnah, and the Mishnah is in Masechtas Shkolim, Perek Beis Mishnah. The Mishnah says as follows, Moisera meisen l'meisen. So we're talking about where people raised money for meisen. They pasha raised funds for burial, etc. So, if there's leftover money, you use it for the mason. Moiser ha-mace, liyarsha. Let's say you raise money for a specific mace, and that is leftover money, you give the money to the yarshim. In other words, if you raise money for mason, somebody has a fund, a gemach, and the purpose of all this money is it goes to mason. Okay, so if you ran out of mason, you know, halzach ruig, there'll be more mason. And as a result, moiser ha-mason, le-mason. Meaning for the subsequent mason. But moiser ha-mace, if you raise money for a specific mace, and now you have leftover money, right? This person's not going to die again. So if he's not going to die again, so what do you do with the leftover money? So what you do with it is you give it to the Yarshim. Now, this is the Reisha of the Mishnah, as we'll see in a moment. There's a Sefer to this Mishnah as well, right? But again, just to be clear, the Reisha is very easy. Moiser ha-mesim, le-mesim. Right, if somebody has any gemilas chesed, somebody raises money for achnos eskala. Okay, you have leftover money, you wait for the next chasana. So you, in this case, you wait for the next mace. But if you raise for something specific, and now that specific thing is no longer relevant, so that's a little bit of a sugya. But either way, the Mishnah says, Moiser ha-mesim, le-yarshim. What's the kasha? What's the kasha? The kasha is Moiser ha-mace liyarshav. L'chayra, we should say that being that the money was raised for the mason, so it comes out it was prepared for the mason. And if it's prepared for the mason, asmana milsi. And if asmana milsi, it should be asav ano. How could you give it to the yarshim? A geshmak kasha. How could you go give it to the yarshim? Why don't we say asmana milsi? So isn't this a raya to Rava that has mana lad milsi tzakasha? Now, Abaye demar sasach ma'eskir shagav mechayim. So, where they raised the money before the person died. And again, even Abaye only holds his halacha if you are irik beged limes. But if you are irik beged lechay, and then the person died, you don't have this sugya. But the Gemara says halaytani hachi. I mean, it's a nice answer, but it's wrong. You know why? Because there's a mefurish nebraisa that explained this mishnah differently. The Tanan, actually, it's the mishnah itself. Meiser amesim lemesim meiser ames liyarch. Right, the tani ella. Here's the braisa. Keitzad gavul. Right, the Brice is explaining the Mishnah. What does it mean, Gavul Mesim? The way we explained it, where you raised it for Mesim. Gavul Mesim Zeh, Zeh Moiser HaMes LeYarshav. But what's the Lashon of the Brice? Gavul Mesim Zeh, right? Sounds like they raised it while the person was dead. So it's clearly talking about a Sugya of Azmona, and still it's Mashma, that Gavul Mesim Zeh, what do you do with the leftover? You give it to the Yarshim, so you say Meres, Hazmona, La Milzi, but the Mar says, Litamech, according to you, Eim HaSeifa. In other words, right, sometimes people ask questions and, you know, they censor a little bit, so it makes the question a little convenient. The Gemara's response is, you know, Maksha, you very conveniently only quoted the Reisha of a Mishnah and asked a Kasha on Abaya. If you quote the whole Mishnah, you would realize there's a bigger picture over here, right? According to you, Amos, you can't just quote the Reisha and ask a Kasha. Take a look at the Sefer. You know what it says in the Sefer? As it relates to Moiser HaMes. So again, we raised money for a specific mace while he was dead, and now you have to know what to do with the leftover money. The Reisha said you give it to the Yarshim, screaming from the rooftops, Hazman Alav Milsi, because otherwise, how are you giving it to the Yarshim? It's Tachal Sabana. But look at what the Sefer says. Remeir Mirmeir says, don't touch the money. Oh, it's not so posh that you could just give it to the Yarshim. Rav Nosson, you know, Rav Nosson says better. Yasa dimus al kivroi. Use it to add another row of stones for this person's caver. This is old school. They used to pour wine in front of the beer of a dead person. But the bottom line is that use it for a demos. Use it for the mace. So it's true. As much as from the ratio of this Mishnah, it sounds like what? Hasmana lav milsi, because you can give it to the Yarshin. Oh, but the Sefer already is nishtazai poshet. Rav Nosson says, mefurish, use it for the mace. What does it sound like to me? Can't give it to the Yarshin. Why not? Probably because hasmana milsi. And even a mayor. It's a little ambiguous. He says, don't touch it. But the bottom line is, it's clear from this Mishnah that it's not so posh that the Tana, the Mishnah is of the opinion, Hazmara la Milsi. So the Gemara says, Eli, you have to say like this. Abai mitaritz l'tame, v'rovi mitaritz l'tame. Again, just to be clear, from the Tanakam, it sounds a little bit like Hazmara la Milsi, right? That was the Gemara's kasha. More than a little bit. It sounds a lot like it. And from the second two Shitas, Ramei, Ramnasin, respectively, it sounds a little bit like Hazmana is yeah, Milsi. So at the end of the day, what? You have one Shita yeah, one Shita not. Does that mean it's a Machloikis Tanoim, right? Is that what's going on over here? The Machloikis Abai Verava, after all is said and done, is really a Machloikis Tanoim. Now we'll see on Amid Beis, it is. But at this point, do we already know this? So the Gemara says, no. Abai could learn the whole Mishnah Hazmana Milsi, Ravik learned the whole Mishnah, Hazmana Lab Milsi. The Gemara explains, Abai Mitaritz Tameh, Abai is going to learn the Mishnah holds, Hazmana Milsi, the Kuli Hazmana Milsi, the Tanakam is Tanakama holds, Hazmana Milsi, right? Who do you really have to explain the Tanakam? The Chazile Tafis, the Loi Chazile Loi Tafis. As much as Abai holds Hazmana Milsi, but he holds that Hazmana's Milsi only if it was used. If it doesn't end up getting used, then it was Lab Milsi. Interesting. So that Ha'irik Begad Lameis is asabana, but only if the mace needed the baguette or the entire baguette. But let's say you ever beg the mace, and it turns out they only needed half the baguette. Okay, so the loy chazile loy tafis. Then he gloy muslim afreya that it never really became kaddish. Or in this case, where you raised money for a mace and you didn't need all the money, so the loy chazile is going to be loy tafis. So pshat in abaya. The way he explains the Tanakama is Avada Hazmana Milsi. I why Moiser Hameis Liyarshav? It's based on the fact that the loy chazile loy tafis. For Rameyer, as it relates to Rameyer, he's the next sheet. What did Rameyer say? Don't touch the money. Because Mesafkale itafis iloy tafis. Because he wasn't sure about this svara. He heard this svara, but he wasn't sure. In other words, he's not sure whether we say over here, Hazmana lav milsi, and as a result, give it to the Yarshim, based on the svara of the Leichazilei Leitafis, or maybe no, maybe there is no such svara. And if that's the case, then really it's Hazmana milsi, and really it belongs to the mace, and you have to do something with the mace. So you can't give it to the Yarshim, because maybe you have to give it to the mace. You can't give it to the mace, because maybe you have to give it to the Yarshim. Now, if the Yarshim Adir Rashi says, just let the Yarshim be Moichel, that's probably the best solution. But being that the Mishnah is giving me the absolute halacha. So the Mishnah is telling me what would be if there are no Yarshim to negotiate with. So over there, you would be stuck. And what do you do if you're stuck? Lo yiga, you wouldn't be able to touch it. Rav Nosim knows no. If Hazmana Milsi, even on the Moise, he'll give it. So therefore, you give it to the Mesa. In other words, according to Abai, the whole Mishnah, all three Shitas hold Hazmana Milsi, working backwards. Rav Nosim's Mamish Hazmana Milsi. That's why he says, what do you do with the leftover money? You give it to the Mesa. Can't touch it. No one's allowed to touch it. The other extreme sheet is the Tanakami holds. In this case, Hazmana is Lad Milsi. Because even though Hazmana Milsi, that's only if it's Chazile. If it's like Chazile, Hazmana Lad Milsi. And the middle sheet is Ramei. He's not sure if it's a Suffolk. And you have no one to ask and negotiate with. So therefore, Yemunachachi Yavi Elio. The Rav Matarit Salat Tami. Rav is going to learn the entire Mitch according to his sheet that holds Hazmana Lad Milsi. The Kuli Hazmana Lad Milsi. Tanakama is the Tanakama. Right, Tanakama is good. The Tanakama holds Hazmana Lad Milsi. But he adds a Knech, does Rav in his Hezber. The reason he's adding a Knech is because this Knech is important in terms of la'afuke, the next two shitas that are coming. Meaning, Rava doesn't have to explain the Tanakama. Tanakama is Pasha according to Rava, right? The whole Maksha was coming mikayach, the Tanakama. So, Pasha, that's Marala Milsi, that's what you give it to the Yarshim. Yeah, but once we know that Rava is going to have to explain shitas Ramei and shitas Ramnasin, so we know, right? This is just Talmud Bavli 101. So we know there's another Svara coming. So to the extent that we know there's another Svara coming, so Rava in his explanation of the Tanakama is already preempting that other Svara that's coming. And this is Pasha the way you learn Gemara. Either way, says the Gemara, Tanakama Sava, the Tanakama holds ki bazule achol machol ziluse legabi yarshim. This person that we raised the money for, even if Hazman is on Milsi, Lamaisa, the money was raised for this mace. So there has to be some svar in the world that says that this person wanted that if there would be any leftover money, it should be bequeathed. It should go over be Yerusha to his Yarshim. So you could hold Hazman la Milsi. That just means it's not Asabana. But the mace was still raised for the mace. And being that it was still raised for the mace, Mechatesi, the mace wants his Yarshim to have it. So the Tanakama has to hold a noise of the Gesvara. And that is ki bazule, bazule miloshin bezoyin, achule machel zilusa gabi yarshim. He's machel any zilusa, he wants his yarshim to have it, beketzer. Rameir misafkale, Rameir is misupik imachel iloy machel. Rameir is not sure about this svara, hilkach lo yiga behem vachulu. Rabnosin holds pshita dole machel. Rabnosin holds his pasha that he's not machel, hilkach yasadimus al kivrei zilof the flame itase. Again. Rava holds hasmano lav milsi. So from a pure isur hana perspective, yeah, you could do whatever you want with it. There's no isur hana from being nene from this. Because all it was hasmana, and hasmano's lav milsi. Stating that the money was raised for the mace. And if the money was raised for the mace, maybe the mace wants it for himself. That's what Nassan holds. He says that he wants it for himself. He's loy machal. He's not machal to the yarshim. He wants it. So I'm dead? Okay. Loy b'moysa yikach hakoil? No problem. Pour wine. It should be expensive wine. Right. Make me a fancy oil. Give me a fancy matzeva. That's what I want. Okay, this is his death wish. So this is what we're going to do. Whereas the Tanakhama holds, no, he wants his Yarshim to have it. Remeir is Basubik. Because Remeir is Basubik, you don't know what to do with it. You can't give it to the Yarshim. You can't give it to the mace. And therefore, unless you have the Yarshim to negotiate with, the halach is going to be Yemunach Achi Yavi Eliyo. Either way, another Tashma. So somebody had Nebuch lost a family member, a child. And the father of the mother was so distraught that they started taking all their kelim. Literally, they were taking all of their possessions, all their clothing, and they were throwing it on top of the mace. Rashi, two lines from the bottom. Zorkim bigdeyim olav, yoyser min atzorech, mipnei chibasai. Umachmas tzaron mischavnin leseres kol mamayin olav. So by them taking all their clothing and all their kelim and throwing it on top of the maize, essentially what they were doing is they were making everything asabana. So it says the Brayis, a very interesting halacha. Mitzvah lacherim latzilon. If you're witnessing this, you're obligated, you have a mitzvah to go and save it. Could I just see the next Rashi? Mitzvah lacherim, it's the last line. Haroyin oisam. Whoever sees this happening, and again, he sees these parents who are in so much pain and they're behaving irrationally right now. There's a mitzvah lahatzilam ulitla me'olav, and to take it away. The ein hashavas avei the gadol mizeh. Because there's no greater hashavas havein in the world. How's that for a lashon? Almo hasmana lav milsi. You know what you see from me? Hasmana lav milsi. Why? The e milsi. Because if you're going to tell me hasmana milsi, lekatzala, it's too late already. Once they picked up the begadim and they threw it, so you're going to go save, you're going to intercept the pass, doesn't help. It's too late. There was already a hasmana. See, right, the mason's not going to be buried with it. Obashayin too spät. At the end of the day, what happened? Hasmana milsi. So the Mar says, Toshma, I'll bring you a raya from here to Rava. That hasmana lav milsi. The Mar says, no. There it's different. Mishum mirarayu. What does that mean? We'll read the next Rashi also. Tap Rashi on Amid Beis. Mitoich tzaron hein oisim kein the inzu hazmana. Being that they're doing it mitoich tzar, it's not considered a hazmana. So this really is reminiscent of different sugyas where if somebody behaves mitoich tzar, right? What's the exhibit A for this? Mesachtas Nadarim. But if somebody behaves mitoich tzar, could be the actions are not considered a bona fide action, and it's for that reason, being that this was done mishum mirarayu, it's not going to be a proper hazman. How do you understand the following, which was stated with regards to this? Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, Reb Shimon Gamliel said, "But medvar mamurim. When is this all true? Shaloi nogu b'mita. The only time it's true that if you go ahead and now you save these begadim, it's okay. That's true if it didn't touch the mita." But once it touches the mita, it's going to be awesome. What's the kasha? If you're going to tell me that this is not really a hazmana, so what's the difference if you caught it before it touched the mita, or if you already touched the mita? At the end of the day, there's no hazmana here. So the whole thing happened mishum mirarayo. So what's the nafkamina, whether it touched the mita or not? So the Gemara says, Tirgam ula ula explain the mita hanik beresimai. Where Shim Gamliel said, b'medvar mamur shalei nogu b'mita, he didn't just mean the mita that the mace is on. It means the mita that the mace will be buried on. Right, where he's actually meaning not the mita, the eres devoy, where it was yotzen neshmasai. It means the mita where he's going to literally be brought to his levaya with. So that mita is already different, and the reason is the mechalfi b'tachrichei ames. It's a special gzeri derabanan because it looks a little tachrichan. Any begodim that are on the mita that the mace will be buried with, maybe would be confused with tachrichan. And it's for that reason, it has nothing to do with hazmana. Hazmana lav milsi, in this case, aliba de kuliam, even according to Abaya, because it's mishum mirarayu. The inzu hazmana, like Rashi says. Aye, why if it touches the mita, it's talking about that mita, and it's based on a very, very specific svar. Toshma, another right. Kiss shasoy la niach by tefillin. A kiss that was prepared to put tefillin inside. So somebody prepared some sort of pouch, and it's going to be used like a talis beitel, right? You're going to be used it for tefillin. Also, nich by mois. Once you prepare it for tefillin, you can't use it for mois. He nich by tefillin. Let's say you didn't prepare it for tefillin, but you only put tefillin inside of it. You nich by mois. Then it's okay. By the way, if you didn't learn the previous sugya, right? If we're not holding cup here, it's almost impossible to understand this brisa. Kis shasoy lehan nich by tefillin. If you only prepared it for tefillin, also nich by mois. If you actually put tefillin inside of it, then you nich by mois. Right? Yitziva ba'ara v'giyara b'shmei shmaya. It sounds like it's counterintuitive. But the answer is no. Hiniach by tefillin means when you didn't prepare it for tefillin, you just put tefillin inside of it, and now you took the tefillin out. That's what chizda zalocha on Amud Aleph. Right? If it was tzorbe, but it was, you didn't prepare it, so in that case, taloch is yaniach by mois. But what do you see from here? Again, it's so clear. Kis shasoi lo niach by tefillin, Aser lohaniach by mois. Hazmanim milsi. Right from the first part of this braisa, you see it clearly. Hazmanim the mar says, Emo, you could always edit the braisa. Meaning, the way the braisa is written, yeah, hazmanim milsi. But you could always change it and say, Asoy vihaniach by tefillin, aser lohaniach by mois. If it, you prepared it and you put tefillin, and by the way, if that's what the braisa is saying, what is the braisa saying? It's saying Rav Chizda's halacha. That it has to be azmine and it has to be tzarbe. Right? Azmine v'loi tzarbe hazman ala milsi. And tzarbe v'loi azmine, that's akroi ba'alma. So if it's both, if you were asoy lo haniach by tefillin, and you were haniach by tefillin, you check off both of those boxes, kid Rav Chizda, that's when it's going to be also to put money inside. Toshma, amalu umin. If somebody goes over to an umin, he goes to a craftsman, and he tells him, aseli tikshal sefer, I want you to please make me like an aron kodesh, where I could put a sefer tayr, or you nar tikshal tefillin, or you can make me a talis baitel, where I could put my tefillin, actually nishtamish behen kodesh, mutter lishtamish behen chal. Until you use it for kodesh, you're allowed to use it for chal. Nishtamish behen Kodesh, Asr Lishnamish Bemchel. Once you're Nishnamish for Kodesh, at that point, you're already Asr Lishnamish Bemchel. What do you see from here? You see from here that actually Nishnamish Bem Kodesh, Mutter Lishnamish Bemchel. This is checkmate, right? You see Mufurish here, Azman Allah Milsi. Because of Azman Allah Milsi, as soon as you told the Umin, Aseli Tikshal Sefer, at that point, when he makes it, there's already a hazmana, and if there's hazmana, so it should be aser. So l'chura, this would seem to be a very, very compelling raya to Shitas Rava, and the Gemara says, you're right. Ad kidei kach, you're right. You have to say tanoihi, that really it's a machloikis hazmana. Meaning, because this braisa is definitely hazmana l'amulsi. And if that's the case, the only way to be miyashiv abaya is by countering with another Shitas HaTanam somewhere that's going to hold hazmana milsi, and the Gemara is going to present it right now. The tanya we learned in a braisa, tzipon zav, if somebody had tefillin, and he covered the tefillin with gold, which you're not allowed to do, by the way. Or he covered it with a layer of hide, but it's or of a behemetmei, which also you're not allowed to do. Psulois, Rashi says, Salach l'moish misina, that these things are possible. Or behemetahira, let's say you covered it with the or of behemetahira, oh, sheiris, then it's going to be kosher. And this is the punchline. Afa pishloi ibdon l'shma. Even if the panning process of this or wasn't done l'shem tefillin, it's still going to be okay. Reb Shimon Gamliel, Reb Shimon Gamliel says, Af or behemetahira psulois, ad she ya'avdu l'shma. That even the or of a behemetahira is going to be possible unless you go ahead and you prepare it lishma. This machloikas, ready? Whether the or of a behemoth Torah that was put on top of tefillin, but it wasn't tanned, it wasn't processed, l'shem tefillin, whether that makes the tefillin possible or kosher is the makar of the machloikas tanam of asmana milsi, asmana la milsi. So what do you see over here? So let's see Rashi. Afal gav shalei avdu, lo or ze l'shma. Even though you didn't process this or l'shma, da asmana la milsi, v'lo ichpas lon ba. So who cares? In other words, we have a machloikis over here, whether the ar that's being used to cover the tefillin has to be processed lishma or not processed lishma. Zokti Gemara, you want to know what's licked at the core of this machloikis, whether hazmana milsi, hazmana la milsi. What shaykhis? Because if you're going to tell me that hazmana is milsi, well then lishma matters. But if you're going to tell me hazmana la milsi, so who cares? Who cares if it was processed lishma? So if hazmana is la milsi, then you might as well not prepare lishma, because lishma is not really doing anything. Because anyways, hazmana la milsi. Now this Gemara is a little bit of a, right? It stops us in our tracks, because, I mean, sugis of lishma permeate shas, and now you're telling me that the whole sugi of lishma, every lishma, writing a get lishma, writing a sefer tayr lishma, right? Every time you find the halach of lishma, you're going to tell me it's totally in hazmana milsi, hazmana la milsi, but the bottom line is, says the Gemara again, in your Yonenu, Daf Yoimi Gelernt. This machloik is Abaye V'Rav, Asmona Milsi, Asmona La Milsi, is really telling you this machloik is Shem Gamliel and the Chachamim, whether or not Ibud L'Shma or not Ibud L'Shma, is that necessary requirement when it comes to tefillin or not? Says the Gemara, Amalei Ravina L'Rav, here's the postscript to the sugya. Ravina told Rav, Mi Ikud Duchta, is there a place, the Ramu Be Meis, the Argi Begel Meis, the whole machloik is Abaye V'Rav, is talking about someone who's Eirik Begel Meis, but like we saw, it's only if the person's dead, right? If you are Eirik Begel Meis while the person's still alive, right? You're Eirik Begel Chai, that's not the Machloik Zabai Verova. So he wanted to know, is there even a place in the world that anyone does this? Now, Lahagdol Teira Lahadira, I mean, if you want to have this Machloikis, that's fine. Is this even a practical Amalayin? So he told him, yeah. Rava told Ravina, no, this machloik between me Abaya, this is like very negeya. We are going shichvi da harpanya. Like the people that die in harpanya. What was so unique about the people in harpanya? So Rashi says they were armalite. And they mamash couldn't even afford to have tachrichen prepared. So when somebody would die, then they would go ahead and they would make tachrichen. It was because of their anius. But the bottom line is now there were places where Eirik Begel Meis really was a sugya. Dorish mireimar. Hilchasa kavase da Abaya. Mireimer said, you want to know what we paskin like? Abaya. V'rabbonan Amri, the Rabbonan said, Hilchasa kavase de Rava, Hilchasa kavase de Rava, and you want to know who the Halacha is like? The Halacha is like Rava, that what? That hazmona lav milsi, Eirik Beged Lameis is going to be mutter, and this concludes this festa sugya. Right here, we have to go weiter. Zok the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon, Haruge Malchus, somebody that's killed by the Malchus Nechsamit LaMelech. So the Melech, the king, has a right to repossess any properties for anybody that they killed. Haruge Bezdin Nechsamit LaYarshin. If Bezdin kills somebody, then the Nechasim go over Beirusha. So why are we having this conversation? It's a Tosefta, and it's very much related to the Mishnah that this whole sugya began with on Daf Mevav. We're talking about all the dinim of Haruge Bezdin. So Yerusha is a very important halacha. So what happens to the Yerusha? So says the Braisa, Haruge Malchus Nechsein LeMelech. Haruge Bezdin, Dir Nechsein LeYarshim. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, Af Haruge Malchus Nechsein LeYarshim. Even the Haruge Malchus Nechsein goes LeYarshim. So we have a machloikis regarding Haruge Malchus. According to the Chachom and Tanakama Nechsein LeMelech, according to Rabbi Yehuda Nechsein LeYarshim. Rabbi Yehuda, they told Rabbi Yehuda, Valik Far Nemar, I have a raya from a pasuk. I have a raya from a pasuk that the Haruge Malchus Nechseim goes to Melech. Okay, what's the pasuk? It says, Hine Bekerem Novois Asheyorat Shom Lirishtai. Now, the context over there is Achav. Achav Melech Yisrael. And one of the very bad things that he did during his lifetime was he killed a man named Novois. The reason he killed Novois is because Novois had a vineyard. Achav wanted the vineyard. He was willing to pay for it. But Novois didn't want to sell it to him. So this is the ultimate Toyu V'Zavin, where it was Koyfenoy Sayat Shaloy Amaroy Tzani. And what he did was very old school. He says, listen, you know, you're not going to do it my way? No problem. We'll play a little hardball. And he went and he killed him. And because he killed Novois, he himself ends up getting killed. Right? We learned a little bit about the death of Achav at the end of the fifth parak, where the Gemara brought some Agadat Gemara associated with it. But the bottom line is that Achav ends up getting assassinated as revenge for the fact that he killed Novois. Now the Pasuk says that after Achav killed Novois, he went, and he inherited this vineyard. Hine bekerem Novois, asheyorat sham lirishtoi. So you see from here that Haruge Malchus nechsein lemach. Now the truth is we need one other piece of nach in order to properly understand this. And that is when Achav killed Novois, he didn't just kill him. What he did was is he made a bilbul. And he said that Novois cursed me. This is what Achav said. And he also was Mevarech Es Hashem. And because of the fact that he was Mevarech Es Hashem, and he was Mevarech the Melech, which is something you're not allowed to do, it's also Bechina Marid L'Malchus, since for that reason, I have a right to go ahead and kill. But the point is, so Achav is killing him based on his Din Melech, which in his mind he has a right to do. Now, it was all Bilbul. And that's why Achav got punished for what he did. But the bottom line is, this is the way he executed it. And now he goes and he inherits the property of Novois. So you see, Haruge Malchus Nechsein LeMelech Amalehem. So Rabbi Yehuda responded to the Chachamim and he told them, Ben Achi Aviv HaYana. That's not why he took it. It says, Lerishtoi, but not Yerusha, because the Melech has a din to Yarshin. But the Yerusha was based on the fact that he was actually his blood relative. In fact, Novois was the son of his father's brother. He was his first cousin, right, in English. So he was his cousin. He actually had a din Yerusha. So he's yarshining him not midin melech, he's yarshining midin yesh noichlin. But the Gemara says the Chacham told him, what do you mean? He had a whole bunch of sons. So if he had a whole bunch of sons, Navais did, then the sons should have yarshin. Avalem Sar Yehuda told him, Oisei Vesban of Harak. Then when Achab went and he killed him, he just killed him, he killed the sons as well. Shenemar, in fact, it's mashma that way in the Pasuk. Because the Pasuk says, when Hashem says, I'm going to take revenge from Achab, in Loy as the main novice, vest the main bun of Roisi Emesh, Noom Hashem. Right? I saw the bloods of novice. And not just that, the bloods of his sons. So you see, clearly he must have killed the sons of Rabbanon. Rabbanon said, what does that mean? Now, who bunim are ruined lotsis memenu? It doesn't mean literally the bloods of his sons, but it means all the sons that were Roy that could have been born to novice. That's what Kaddish Baruch Hu saw. Right? This is like by Hevel, called Dmei. That it's the bloods of Hevel. Why the bloods of Hevel? Because all the dairists that could have came from Hevel, they're all yelling at me because you're responsible, you're achroi for all of that. But the point is that he didn't actually kill his sons, and therefore we have this machloikis here between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. So again, we have a machloikis in halacha where the haruge malchus, as the melech, now have a schus to go ahead and to take, repossess the properties or not, according to the Chachamim. Yeah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, not. What's the Makar of the Chachamim? We learn it from Achav, who killed Navais, Kaloimar, Midin, Meir, B'malchus. And what does the Pasuk say? He yarshined all his possessions. So you see, Arugei Malchus has a Schus Yerusha. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda responded, and Rabbi Yehuda said, no, the reason he was able to yarshin all that is because he was actually his Yoyrish. I didn't have sons. No, he had killed his sons. So Gemara says like this, Bishlam, the Mandam, and the Chseim, the Melech. Bishlam, according to the Mandam, that says that Arugei Malchus, the Chseim, go to the Melech. I knew the Chseim, that's Pshan in the Pasuk, that says, Beirach Novois, Elohim v'melech. So the Pasuk says that what was the bilbul? The bilbul was Achav accused Navos. Again, this was all a setup. But he said that he had cursed Elohim and he cursed the melech. Now, if he wanted to kill him, all he had to say was that he was Berach Elohim. Why do you have to say he was also Berach the melech? Probably because he wanted to also yarshin his nechasim. If he's Berach Elohim, then he's being killed midin bezdin. If he's being killed midin bezdin, so then nechasim liyarsha. But if he's Berach Melech, so now he's a Merib Malchus, so now he has a din of Harugei Malchus. Harugei Malchus is Chsein LeMelech. So it makes perfect sense. Elam Adam and Chsein LeYarshim. But according to Mandam, it says that the Nechasim go to the Yarshim. Lama Lifa Melech. Why does it say Elohim v'melech? Meaning, why does setup have to be Elohim v'melech? The whole v'melech part is irrelevant. He was Berach Elohim. That's bad enough. Oh, he was also Berach v'melech. But the Gemara says, according to you, Elohim lamali. Meaning, if he wanted him to be a Berach melech, so he's chayim misa for being Berach the melech. So why does he have to be Berach Elohim? Elah fushay rizcha. He wanted to make him look bad. The idea was that nobody should have rachmanis on novice, right? Everyone should be on Achav side. He was looking for the popular opinion as well, right? He wanted approval ratings. So he says, no, you know what kind of bad guy this person is. He was Berach Elohim, he was Berach Melech. But the point is, you would have to agree that that's probably what's going on over here. So, I'm going to explain it the same way you're inevitably going to be forced to explain it as well. Says the Gemara. One more little bit of Navi, and that's going to take us to the end of our daf. Now, this next Raya that the Gemara is going to bring to this Shaila, whether someone that's killed by the king, whether Nechseim Melech or whether Nechseim Liyarsha, is from the story of Yoav ben Tzeruya. Now, the story of Yoav ben Tzeruya spans a good chunk of Nach, but it's specifically the fact that Shlomo Melech had Yoav ben Tzeruya killed, and it was something that he did at the behest of his father David, right? One of the last things that David HaMelech told his son Shlomo was that make sure Yoav ben Tzeruya never grows old, right? And Shlomo goes, and Shlomo understood what that meant, and he kills him. But the point is that the story of Yoav is really very important to understanding the next few lines. It's also very important to understanding the majority of tomorrow's daf. So really, in the beginning of tomorrow's daf, from 7.5 years ago, we go through the story in great detail of Yoav ben Tzeruya. So Ayin Sham. Right now, we just have to finish this Gemara just to get up to where we started from last Machzor. So we're going to read the next few lines, but really, the Hakdama to the next staff is the Hakdama to these next few lines. So the Gemara says like this, Bish, label the Mandam and the Chsein Lamesh, Bish, I'm going to Mandam, that says that the nechasim of someone that's killed by the king belongs to the king. I understand this Pasuk that says, Vayonos Yoav, that Yoav ran, El Oyel Hashem, to the Beis HaMikdash, Vayachzik B'Karnos HaMizbech, and he grabbed on to the Karnos HaMizbech. V'Ksiv, and the Pasuk says, that when they came to get Yoav, Vayomer, what did he say? Loy Eitzik Yipayos. So when Yoav hears that Shlomo HaMelech wants to kill him, so what he does is he seeks refuge, and he goes to the Mizbech, and he's holding on to the corns, the horns of the Mizbech, the Karnos HaMizbech, and he says, I'm not leaving right now, right? I'm over here, I'm going to be safe. El Olamat, so the Gemara says, now why did Yoav do this? Marav Shachri was going to get killed. Now, why was he Marav Shachri going to be killed? The reason he was Marav Shachri being killed is because Yoav ben Tzruya had killed Avner ben Ner. And because he had killed Avner ben Ner, so therefore he was technically Chayv Mises Bezin. So him hiding in the Lichkas HaGozris wasn't really the best hiding place, right? It's not witness protection. Because really, over there, the Sanhedrin's going to kill you. But Yoav prefers being killed by the Sanhedrin than being killed by Shloima. Why? So the Gemara says, very Gishma. Because if he's killed by the Sanhedrin, so he's a big veer Yoav, right? He had a very accomplishing career. So who's going to get all his nechassim? It's probably going to go to his yarshim. But if he's killed by Shloima, then nechsein lamelech. So that's why he's hiding there. He knows he's going to get killed anyways. But the reason he's doing it because achaps an afkamina in his nechassim. But if you're going to tell me el amandam nechsein liyarshim, but if you're going to tell me nechassim go to the yarshim, my nafka let me know. So what difference does it make? So the Gemara says a chayesha. I'll tell you what the difference is. The difference is chayesha. At the end of the day, by him being there, he got to live a little bit longer. And the reason is because he sends a message back. I'm not leaving. And there's a Shaklavitarya. So he bought himself a little bit of time. And he did it for, now you do it the Yarshim, now you do it the Nechasim. This was done simply for Chayesha. The Pasuk says, Vayoshev Beniyo es Amelech Dover Lemer, Koydi Be Yoav, Vikoyonani. So Beniyo, he was the Shliach that had come to pick up Yoav, and he sends a message back to Shloim, and he says, this is what Yoav said. Now he's a little wordy. Koy diber Yoav, koy anani. So it sounds like he told him a lot. Amale. So the Gemara explains what it is that Yoav told him. He said, Zil emale, go tell your Shloim as follows. Tarti loy ta'avid by gafra. You can't do both. Now the background to this is that David had already cursed Yoav for what he had done. And David said that Yoav, because of what you did, your children are not going to be gebenched, and you're going to have a lot of tzaras. So Yoav says, listen, you want to kill me, you can kill me. But I'm letting you know right now that you can't give me both Einshim, right? Come live with the rabbi, it doesn't work that way. So I have the klala from David, and now you want to kill me. So tarti lo tavid by gavra. So listen to what he tells him. Ikatlisle, if you kill me, then kabol letusye delat yavuch. Then you know what's going to happen to the klala? You're going to end up getting the klala. And if you don't kill me, then Shafki the Lake Bilotus Lat Yavuch, then I'm gonna be the one that's gonna end up getting the klala. But he basically said that if you kill me now, that klala of David is hanging in the air, it's floating around, and someone's gonna end up getting it. And he said, you know who's gonna end up getting it? Who's gonna end up getting it is you're gonna end up getting it. And in fact, that is the next Gemara that tomorrow's daf is going to begin with. Amar Rav Yudam Arav called Klodoy Shekilo David Es Yoav Niskaimu Bizarre Shal David. And this is exactly what Yoav was telling him. Yoav was telling him, he said, listen, there's this Klola out there that's floating. And right now, that Klola is meant, said Yoav, for me. But if you kill me, well, then I got a different Einish. Because that's not what David had told me. He said that the klola is going to be chal mit the kinder. So if you're going to go now, you're going to chap it with me, where's that klola going to go? It's not just going to go poof. It's going to be chal somewhere. You know where it's going to be chal? It's going to be chal with you. So this was what he told him. And this is what Beniyo says. Vayosha Beniyo is ha-melech dover lemer. Koy di b'yayoy v'koy anani. He says, Shloim, I'm letting you know, he's not coming. Number one, number two, he's threatening us. Because basically what he's saying is that this klola is going to end up falling on us. And we are going to stop here. A little bit of raid, one ha'ara, so we'll speak at one ha'ara. And that is really going back to a raid by a Rashi that we left on the table that we said we have to come back to. So this Rashi was in the previous parak. It was on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, but it's a Yesodus Digger Rashi, and I think it's kedai to go back to it. So the Gemara said as follows. Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, it's the fourth wide line. The Pasuk says, Ki v'sachbulois tasa l'cha milchama. Person goes out and he wages war, he does it besach bulois. He does it with strategy. Amrav Acha Bar Chanina, Amrav Asi, Amrav Yoichanon. So Rav Acha Bar Chanina send the name, Rav Asi send the name, Rav Yoichanon. B'miyat moitzei milchanta shal Torah. By whom do you find milchanta shal Torah? B'mi sheyesh b'yodei chavilois chavilois shal Mishnah. If you want to go fight a war, milchanta shal Torah, you now you fight it with chavilois shal Mishnah. In other words, if you fight a war, you need Klei Zion. right? Nobody goes to war without Klei Zayin. This week's parasha. V'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael mi'eretz Mitzrayim. What does it mean, v'chamushim? Right? They came, they were, trying to remember the Yiddish word, but they came mizuyonim, Rashi says, right? This is a good word. They came mizuyonim. Everyone's muted, I'm sorry. So they came with Klei Zayin. So if you're going to fight a war, you have to have Klei Zayin. And that's ki b'sach bulois tassel cham l'chama, that if you're going to go and you're going to fight a war, you go b'sach bulois. And what's the sach bulois? What's the Klei Zayin of Milchamta Shel Torah? So Rav Acha, Rav Chanina, send the name Rav Asi, who said in the name Rav Yoichanan, you want to know what it is? It's Misha Yech B'yodei Chavilois Chavilois Shal Mishnah. It's if you have Mishnah. And then the Gemara concludes and says, Rav Yosef Anafshei, Rav Yosef said about himself, Rav Tfuois B'koyach Shar. And this is Rav Yosef, who's a Sinai, who had all the Chavilois of Mishnayis, and he said the Koyach of the Shar, right, the Shar that fights, the Shar Shanogach, that Shar comes from what? Rav Tfuois. It comes from having a lot of Tfua, comes from having a lot of merchandise, comes from having a lot of Yediyah Satayra. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan said, "B'mi atam moitzam l'chamta shal Torah, b'mi sheyesh b'yodei chavilois chavilois shal Mishnah." Talk to Hilger Rashi. Dibra maschel, milchamta shal Torah. Hoyri yoseha, v'lamid al buria v'al ikra. If somebody wants to fight the war of Torah, what does that mean? It means lamid al buria v'al ikra. If you want to really be able to get to the bottom of an inyan when it comes to learning, that's what it means, milchamta shal Torah. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying when he says you have to have Chaviloi Shal Mishnah. So Krashi, Loika Adam HaMefulful U'mechudidu Bal Svara. What Rabbi Yochanan is coming lafuke is someone that has Koyach HaPilpul. Someone that has Koyach HaChidut, meaning he's a very, very big Balkishin. U'Bal Svara, he could say a good Svara, Abavaloi Lomad Mishnayos Braises Harpe. But he didn't learn a lot of Mishnayos, and he didn't learn a lot of Braises. Ki Mehechon Yiskala HaSoit. Because if somebody learns like that, how is he going to have the ability to reveal the Soit? Ela b'bal Mishnayos Harbe. Someone that knows a lot of Mishnayos. Shem Yitzarech Loi Tam B'kan. Because a person like this, if he's going to need a Tam over here, Yilamdenu Mitach Mishnah Acheres. He'll be able to shtel to another Mishnah, and like this, he's going to know how to learn it. Oyem Yikshel Loi Dover Al Dover. Or if he's going to have a steer between two halachas, Yavim Mitach Mishnayos Harbe Shabiyadai. He'll be able to clarify it from all the Mishnayos that he has. He'll be able to say, Hamani Ploinihi Sheshemanu B'mokim Acher Oymerkach. Who I know in a different place said like this. In other words, Rashi goes and he explains in a very, very descriptive way why you need the Chavilois Chavilois Shal Mishnah in order to be able to wage the war of Torah. It's because if not, Mehechon Yiskala HaSoit. How are you going to have the ability to be Megala the Soit? Ela Bebal Mishnayos Harbe. Davka is someone that knows a lot of Mishnayos. Shem Yitztarech Loi Tam Bekan, Yilamdenu Mitach Mishnah Acheres. Or better, if you're going to have a Stira, Yavim Mitach Mishnayos Harbe Shabiyodai. You'll know Hamani Ploini, Shech Shomar Mokam Achoy Mekach. And as a result, you're not going to end up with a Stira. But the point is, in order for someone to be Lamed Al Burya Shal Torah, in order for a person to get to the bottom of Torah, what does he need? He needs Chavilois, Chavilois Shal Mishnah. What came to mind is that we know Rabbi Yochanan is halacha k'moisa b'chal makim. K'neged Rav, k'neged Shmuel, k'neged Reish Lakish. We always pass like Rabbi Yochanan. And we've mentioned from the Yad Malachi, it really comes from the Chavis Yor and his famous tshuva with regards to Kol Yapsak in Simon Tzadik Dalit, where he says that really you find there were a lot of people that were able to best Rabbi Yochanan when it came to talking and learning. Right, the Gemara says in Asoichas HaPoilim that Rabbi Yochanan would ask a kasha and Reish Lakish had 24, right, the Gemara talks about how Rav Kahana, who was a Talmud of Rav, when he was forced to go into exile and the end of Masech and he was able to frag up Rabbi Yochanan to the point Rabbi Yochanan and Agmas Nefesh that it caused Rav Kahana to die. Rabbi Yochanan had to make Tchias HaMeisim. Rav Kahana was a Talmud of Rav, and the Chavis Yar said even he was able to best Rabbi Yochanan. But where did Rabbi Yochanan get his koyach from? He got it because he was a Sinai. And when it comes to Halacha, Sinai Yadav, and this is Mamish Rabbi Yochanan, who's giving you the blueprint of Sinai Yadav, right? I think it's very poshut that this Rabbi Yochanan is a tzushdal to what the Yad Malachi brings from the Chavis Yar as it relates to understanding why we always pass him like Rabbi Yochanan. But I'll tell you a Dover Nifla that was Margula Bepume. And this, if you want to see it inside, it's printed in the Hakdama to Sefer Zois Liyakov, on Masechtas Gittins. This is the first sefer there Shmuel Yankov wrote. He wrote it when he was mamash a younger man. He had two askomas on the sefer. Shmuel Yankov got an askoma for Reb Shach, and he got an askoma for Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. His two greiser rabbeim, other greiser rabbeim. But these were the two askomas that he got on this sefer. So take a look at what the Gedolim said about Reb Shmuel Yankov when he was a younger man. But the bottom line is that in the Hakdama to the Zoyis LeYakov, this was something that was margula bapume. When he used to give shmuzin in yeshiva, this was something that he would very, very often say. And he had a meiridigetzushtam. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says that why does a person have to have bikias? His lashon is because if you're not going to have bikias, loy ka'adam amefulful umechudid ubalsvara, for loy lomad mishnayis ubraisis harbe, ki mehechon yiskala hasoid. Because if you're going to do that, where's the soid going to come from? It's the heratzushta. The Gemara says in Shabbos, daf peches on the days. The Gemara says, "Hainu da amar Rava." This is what Rava meant when he said, "Lemayeminimba." If somebody learns Torah with the rechta hand, samedachaye. The Torah is a samedachaye, right? It's a source of life. But lemas miilimba. If somebody learns it with the linka hand, samedamusa, right? Then it's already a bad thing, right? Torah could be a samedachaye, could be a samedamusa. Lemayeminimba, it's a samedachaye. Lemas miilimba, it's a samedamusa. Zok tehilu gerashi. Shabbos pei ches amid beis. Lemayeminimba ha asukim bechol koicham. It's referring to people that are asukim. Bechol koicham, v'trudin, and that's so tarud l'das soida, to know the soid of the sugya. Ka'adam hamishtamish biyad yeminoi shehi iker. Rashi uses the same exact lashon, l'das soida, l'das soida. So Shmuel Yankov said two things. Number one, you see from two Rashis in Shas, Sanhedrin and Beis Amid Aleph and Shabbos Peches Amid Beis, that there's something called the Soid of learning. Rav Shmuel Yankov said it's Poshet. Rashi doesn't mean Teres HaSoid. It's not what he means. He doesn't mean the Zohar HaKadosh. He doesn't mean the Ramchal. That's not what he's referring to. He doesn't mean Kisvei Ari and Reb Chaim Vital. He means the Soid of a Sugya. And he said, Vais Dois, Sedot the Soid Fen HaSugya. You learn the Sugya Shit Chiyestik, and then you can get into the Panemius of the Sugya in Niglo. But there's something called the Soid of the Sugya. Reb Shmuel Yankov said, you see another thing. And that is, what does a person need in order to come to the Soid of the Sugya? He needs two things. He needs what Rashi says in Sanhedrin, Mem Beis Amid Aleph. What you need is the Mishnayis and the Braises. Because if you don't have the Mishnayis and the Braises, Mehechon Yiskala Hasoid. But you also need the Mayaminimba, Asukim Bechol Koicham, Vitrudim Lodas Soida. You have to also come on to the Amelos and the Haravanya with Kol Koicham, where it's Lamayaminaba. You're not just learning. That's Lamasmeilaba. That's not good. You have to do Lamayaminaba. In other words, you need, number one, the Amelos Bateira, and number two, you need the Adia Sateira. And Ha Beloi Ha Lo Yestayim Milsa. Both places, Rashi invokes this Lashon of the Soid of the Sugya, which is a Chiddush in and of itself. There's something called the Soid from the Sugya. The Soid of the Nigla, right? That's an oxymoron. The Soid of the Nigla. But there's a Soid of the Sugya, which a person can come to, and the way you come to it is l'mayyaminaba asuchim mechol choicham utrudim l'das soida. But at the same time, if you're not going to have the mishnayis and you're not going to have the brightness, mehechon yiskala asoid, how are you going to be able to come to the asoid? Just to end. So we talk a lot about Rav Ruvim Margolis is safer shame oiva. Right? When you learn Masechta Sanhedrin, you're also learning the sugya of Rav Ruvim Margolis because of his classic work, Margolis Hayam. But we've spoken a lot about the Sefer Shem Oilam. What's the Sefer Shem Oilam? So that's a Sefer that Rav Ruvim Margolis wrote. That the purpose of the Sefer was, the mission statement is, wherever you find a Chad Omar, he went and he figured out, not in all cases, but in many, many cases, who said what. Homavui, a ksav hisnatsas, mechatesi, you could even figure it out. I mean, it sounds like maybe Damayram didn't know. So if Damayram didn't know, how could I know? So that's the mavui of the Sefer, which is many, many pages long. And that's what the Sefer Shem Oilam is. Now, it's interesting that the Sefer Shem Oilam wasn't just written on Talmud Bavli, right? But it's like all Rabbi Margolis Sfarim. It was written on Kol HaTorah Kula. It's written on Bavli, Yerushalmi. It goes through the Midrashim, the Psiktas. It goes through everything, right? You see the Bekias, the Sinai kite of Rabbi Margolis. Everything he wrote on Kol HaTorah Kula, right? Meaning, when he sat down and he wrote his Chiburim, whether it's his Shari Zoyar, where he cross-references all the Nigla and the Nister, whether it's the Sefer Sheim Oilam, whether it's the Sefer Netzutzeyar, which are all his Hagoyas, he wrote everything on everything, because his Asog of Torah wasn't Bavli, his Asog was everything. It was right, Pasha, what I'm saying. But there's an oymik there. But the bottom line is this. The bottom line is, I recently got a hold of the first edition of Shem Oilam. Thank you, Mizrahi. So he sent me the first edition of Shem Oilam, which was printed, I think, in 1930. I can't find it Mefurish, but as is Mashma. I'll tell you why in a second. And it was printed in 1930. And when he put out Shem Oilam for the first time, he had only written it on Talmud Bavli. So it's not the Shem Oilam that we have, because the Shem Oilam that we have is really on everything. But at that point, he had only written it on Talmud Bavli. And at the very, very end, there's one page that is not in the new Shem Oilams. Pull it out of the safer. But there's one page where he writes a little bit about what he's doing. I thought this was very interesting. He says like this, "B'chos mi'achelik harishay misifri zeh." Now that I'm concluding the first chelik of this safer, "Hinini noisin hoida al chelki." I want to give hoida to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for granting me the schos to write this. "Asher mimosayim eser mushtayim pluktois hatanom v'amayrom shenishnu v'talbet bavli b'chad omar." Because from the 222 machlekesin between Tanom and Amayrom that you find in Talmud Bavli, v'loim esaymi, and weren't figured out, meaning the Chad Omars and Chad Omars, hichrati be'ezus Hashem me'echamishim v'sheish. I was able to figure out 156. U'bechein, and if that's the case, this is back of the envelope arithmetic, yeshnan oid shishim v'sheish pluktois, there are another 66, asher midei oski barichos sifrizet, that as I was ready to print the sefer, loy hichrati. I wasn't able to figure out. And right now, I just don't know the answer. And he writes that the truth is that we know loy alecha melacha ligmar, and loyk mi girso kol achas bifnei atzma requires a tremendous amount of siyata deshmaya. And up until now, there's 66 chad amars that I was not able to figure out. So then he writes like this, ube farsim mikoes. But now that I want to print the sefer, and the reason I'm printing the sefer now is for a reason that I wrote at the end of my psicha. So I looked at the end of the psicha, and the one thing he mentions there is that his wife had recently passed away, and he's dedicating the sefer to his wife. So I'm assuming that's what it was. That his wife must have passed away. So Reuven Margolis was married twice. He was married before the war. His first wife's name was Chaya Genendel. Then he was married again after the war. His second wife's name was Esther. So the Nefesh Chaya, which is Reuven Margolis' sefer that he wrote on Shulchan Aruch, there's a new edition of Nefesh Chaya that just came out, which by the way does not have the original Nefesh Chaya inside of it, just FYI, but it has Hagoyis. Now Reuven Margolis had written on the side of his Shulchan Aruch with Hagoyis on the bottom, but the bottom line is that Nefesh Chaya was dedicated to his first wife, whose name was Chaya, Chaya Genendel, and it seems he wanted to dedicate this sefer to her also. So he dedicates this sefer Shem Olam, and he's putting this out a little prematurely. So he says like this, so I'm putting it out right now, and it's a dover habilti nigmar, it's not finished, because the mission statement is to figure out all the chadomars, and divide, like, I couldn't figure them all out. I'm missing 66. So he writes like this, hinini b'sheilosim mikol chochom v'tzoyreif, asher yorav Hashem enov l'sayim shmaitza gam ba'achas mehena. So he says, I'm putting it out there now, I'm letting you, no, I'm not finished. I plan on revisiting this. So right now, anyone who reads my sefer and has a ha'ara, whether it's ha'ara on what I wrote, but even better, on one of the 66 that I didn't write yet, I'm asking you, please help me out over here. He says, you'll do me a tremendous toifa. And then he says, I'm going to give you a shout out of my sefer. I'm going to be and you'll have a chelik in the sefer that I'm putting out. And he went so far, he writes like this, that I started working on chelik beis. So chelik beis is Yerushalmi, right, all the Midrashim. And he says, I'm in the middle of it. And so far, there's a bunch that I don't know the answers to. So he says, on the bottom here, I'm going to give you all the ones in Chelik Beis that I didn't print yet that I don't know. Meaning the ones I know that I'm going to tell you in Chelik Beis, but I'll give you the ones I don't know because maybe you can help me out. I'm Pashut stumped. And on the bottom of this page, there's Mamish, like, I don't know, it's a whole bunch here, which he doesn't know. And he's asking him, he says, Tumecha Toiva, you would do me a tremendous Toiva if you could figure this out, because I think this Avoid over here is a tremendous Avoid this HaKodesh. And he says, I'm Pashut asking for help. I can't figure this all out on my own. Then he says something so interesting. He says, the truth is that I had a lot of ways of figuring these things out. I'll pi Chidut, I'll pi Pil. He said, but I tried very hard that everything that I wrote should be Pshuta Shal Mikra. It should be Pashut Pshat. I mean, that's like a whole nother level in the mission statement. So we're going to figure out the Chad Omers, but it's not going to be Shtik Lech Torah. Everything is going to be... So he said, everything that I wrote here, I feel like is Pshuta Shal Mikra. He says, Chidudim, I had Harbe Chidudim. But I'm trying very hard that it should be Torah's Emes Lamitoy, and this is the way I want to do it. And then he ends with one paragraph, and we're going to end with this. He says, Ukvar Kosafti B'chasimas Psichasi. Kilamoid Al-Hachro. Tusa, kol kama de poshet tve odiv tve. The more poshet pshat something is, it's poshet, the more emes it is. Is loy niskavanti besifri, this is what I just mentioned, likshar nima benima bederech chidud, ach levarim mishnas chachomenu aleim ashalim, bekishor im shitosam binyonim hadoim. My whole objective here was not just to come up with a shtickle Torah, but to try to find, so for example, Machlik is Rav and Shmuel, right? Meisha Melech Moyev. That was a recent one that we had. Was he Mechavel L'Shem Shemayim? Was he Mechavel L'Shem Avodazar? So, Rav and Magolish, Del Tzuda, Machlik is Rav and Shmuel, with regards to Achashverosh, whether he's a Melech Pikeach or he's a Melech Tipish, right? The idea is, B'kishur im shitasam, B'inyonim hadoim. Says Rav and Magolish, you ready? V'zuhi milcham tishol Torah. This is milcham tishol Torah. This avoid that I hold is mecham to shoter. Kasha motzin b'sanhedrin and beizam aralef. Amrav achav bar chanina. Amrav asi. Amrav yoichanon. B'mi atem moitzim mecham to shoter. B'mi shniyesh b'yaday chaviloi shal mishna. U'berashi shom. Take a look at Rashi. Mecham to shoter. Hori yoseh. V'lamay dal bur yaval ikra. Loi ka adam am fulfilu mechudid u'bal svar v'loi lomad mishnayus u'brayses harbe. Ki mehechon yiskala hasoid. Reb Shmuel Yankiv. Ela b'bal mishnayus harbe. Shem yitztarich.
And the ending is in bold letters. It's the end of Rashi. How does Rashi end? Ho mani plenihu. Sheshemanu b'mokem acher oimer kach. That this is part of the avoid of Melchanto Shal Teiro, to be able to say, ho mani plenihu. This was mamish his motivation and his makar to the whole Indian of Shem Oilo. That's how Rashi ends. Rashi says, ho mani plenihu. Sheshemanu b'mokem ach. Thus is Melchanto Shal Teiro. And it's to do it by stelling to another place where you find this Tana, this Amira says it. I just thought it was, I literally just saw this last week as we saw this Rashi here, Sanhedrin Membez Amar Aleph, Simona Milsihi. But the bottom line is, few in Yonim that we're taking out over here. The Soib, you can't forget, this is, talks about the Bekiyas of learning. But Shmuel Yankiv said, forget this to under Rashi. Right, you have to have the Bekiyas to know the other Rashi, that it's not enough to have Bekiyas. Right, you have to know the Rashi in Shabbos, Peiches Amadeis, that when you learn the Chalkoichoi and you're true Din Vasukin to come down to the Soib, there's the Soib of the Sugya, and really you come through to it in both ways. But either way, we will end with this.